kids need to use their brains in lots of different ways.
Maybe throw some stuff at us to give us an example of the kinds of things that you're asking kids to solve.
You are about to get stumped next on the Bentley Brothers.
And now it's time for another edulicious episode of the Bentley Brothers podcast, bringing you what's current and what works in education. Here are your hosts, Scott and Tim Bentley.
Bentley Brothers, Bentley, Bentley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Bentley Brothers, yep. Bentley, Bentley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Yep. First name Bentley, last name Brothers, bringing education information like no others.
Yep. I think we are about to get stumped, right, Scott? Today we've got on the show with us Eric Berlin. He is a creator of puzzles. So we're going to be talking puzzles and how that relates to education today. He is an author. He's written a few books. One of them's called The Puzzling World of Winston Breen, The Potato Chip Puzzles, and another one called The Puzzler's Mansion. He's written several crossword puzzles for the New York Times. That's a big deal. And he's got a website that has puzzles for the classroom. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
Excellent to have you here. So why don't you just get us started with telling our listeners what do you offer in terms of your website? What kind of puzzles are you into? And, you know, what's your passion with puzzles for kids?
Well, the website, just to get right to it, is puzzleyourkids.com. And at puzzleyourkids.com, you can sign up to receive a free puzzle that a young solver can solve on his or her own. By young solver, I mean 10 or 11, 12 years old. Younger than that, they might need a little bit of assistance from a parent or a teacher. But these are puzzles that are made for kids to solve. What sort of puzzles? They are word puzzles. They're all different kinds of, not crosswords, but crossword-like. They are what I call variety crosswords. Instead of all the words going across and down, words might go backwards or in circles, or they might go wind around a grid, wind around like a labyrinth from start to finish. I've got like 30 or 40 different kinds of puzzles. You really never know what you're going to see from week to week, but they're all small enough for a kid to solve in one sitting or maybe two sittings. And the vocabulary is in both the answers that are in the grid and in how I clue them, very, very kid friendly.
That's so cool. I love that concept. I started with my own son doing word searches because I like that kind of like identifying words within these puzzles and patterns.
That's how I got started myself.
That's great. So why should I spend time on this? I feel like it's a great use of time, but you're talking to the teachers out there, the educators. Why is this an important task? What do you know about that?
Well, kids need to use their brains in lots of different ways, not just in memorizing, you know, facts and dates and figures, and not even just in thinking in terms of the act of creation. I love arts and crafts. That's well and good, and kids should be doing that. But I'm talking about, I'm giving you, the solver, a challenge, and you have to use your brain to defeat it. Everybody knows that kids need to read something every day. I am of the opinion that kids need to solve something every day. Use their brains in such a way to take down a challenge that somebody has given them. And these puzzles are right at that level of difficulty that they are able to do it most of the time.
Yeah, you know, in my class, we have this mantra, character before content. And don't kids develop character by doing puzzles?
I think so. I think they do develop character. They learn how to fail, because sometimes you'll get stuck on a puzzle. And what are you going to do? Sometimes you have to just stop and say, all right, I will try again tomorrow. This happens to me all the time. I don't solve every single puzzle that I attempt. Sometimes you just had to say, all right, I will try again tomorrow. That's absolutely a character building exercise. And then it's all the sweeter when you do succeed. You tackle the next day's puzzle and you solve it and you're like, oh, it's even better now that I failed a few times. Now I know what I'm doing. Now I feel really good about this.
Yeah, and persistence, you know, I mean, if they can develop persistence in these problem solving of the puzzle, then that's going to carry over into other areas of education, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And to get back to I think, Scott's point about why else should kids be solving puzzles, the content of word puzzles touches on all the subjects under the sun. You've got some geography in there, you've got some history in there, you've got some math terms in there, as well as pop culture and just everyday vocabulary. And with my puzzles, I do try to throw in a couple of stretchers, words that I think kids should know that they've probably seen in books, but not might not be able to connect immediately to a clue, but you're able to get it when you fill in a couple of letters going the other way, just words that are slightly out of their grasp and make them feel really good when they get that one.
That's beautiful. Yeah, desirable difficulty.
Desirable difficulty. I love that phrase.
I didn't make it up. We got that from one of our other guests.
That is a great phrase.
Desirable difficulty.
Yeah, and I think those puzzles really do that. Eric, would you suggest that kids actually start creating their own puzzles once they get used to solving and seeing how puzzles are created? I mean, is that something that's
important? That would be awesome. Yeah, being able to create puzzles.
And this really
to get the difficulty right. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. This really intrigues me because one of the things that I think is really important in a classroom is not just to have the teachers be the creators, but shift that as quickly as possible after you model those things into the kids' hands where they're creating and that's showing like a different kind of depth of understanding.
I know that I have scored with a kid when that kid starts making his or her own puzzles. That's when I know I've hit the bullseye. I don't expect a child to be able to create puzzles at that desirable difficulty level. I'm going to just use that phrase in every sentence now.
That's Robert.
I don't expect kids to be able to do that sort of thing. I started making puzzles when I was in middle school and I was terrible at it. And most of my puzzles couldn't be solved at all. But just the act of wanting to do that is let them go. Let them do it. Don't get in their way.
Yeah, it's a process. Of course, they're going to learn through the process of making the puzzle. It's not that the end product is going to be perfect.
Exactly.
And ready to go to the New York Times like some people do.
Right.
I think you figure out like there's an audience too, right, through this process. And that ties in really nicely into writing and other areas of communication is like that you're creating this for an audience. And so I think it's a really cool thing, Eric, that they can start with puzzles that you've created and then take it on their own.
Yeah.
Now, Eric, can you give us an example? It might be a little hard because it sounds like your puzzles are pretty visual, right? But can you try to maybe throw some stuff at us to give us an example of the kinds of things that you're asking kids to solve?
That's the kind of thing that you get from puzzleyourkids.com. is these are grid puzzles, these are crosswords. And so they're kind of hard to do, you know, through audio only. But when I travel to schools and I talk to kids, the second half of my presentation is inevitably a live game show that I run for them all, where they've got to solve, you know, I give prizes away to the people who solve the most puzzles and stuff like that. And those are all just puzzles that I recite out loud. To give you an example, think of a bird with five letters. If you add a letter to the start of this, you will have a dog with six letters. What are these two animals?
Oh my.
A bird with five letters. You add a letter to the start and you'll have a dog with six letters. I'm ready to give you a hint if you want one.
This is going to be a really exciting podcast.
A lot of dead air.
Quiet and dark.
For 5 minutes.
I'll give you a hint. The letter that you're going to add the letter that you're going to add to the front of the bird is a B, as in boy.
I've been watching a lot of Wheel of Fortune, and it's not really helping me right now, Eric.
Oh, my. Beagle.
Beagle and eagle is correct. Eagle Very good.
Woo! Okay. I got 1 point. Give me another one.
All right, here's a quick one. Think of the word pilot. The guy who flies the airplane is the pilot. If you change a letter of this word and then spell it backwards, you will have what flower?
Tulip.
Tulip is right.
I was going to say I was going to say toilet, and then I'm like, wait a second.
And it's so great when I'm doing this with kids live, and there's that moment, the same moment that you guys had of just, and then their eyes light up. They have the aha moment. The light bulb goes on over their heads. Puzzles are all about the aha moment. That is why I solve puzzles every day, is because I want that aha moment. I am quite literally addicted to the feeling I get when I don't see the answer and I don't see the answer and then, oh, I see the answer. That is what it's all about.
Now, do you have these, the types of puzzles that you just did with us right now, do you have those on your website as well?
No. Those are for my presentations that I do. So that's not on the website.
Great.
But there's plenty of puzzles on the website.
And Eric, those are free puzzles too, right?
Yeah. So at Puzzle Your Kids, if you sign up, you can get one puzzle for free every week. I send them out Friday mornings to everybody. If you support my efforts for $5 a month, I will send you two puzzles every week, as well as all sorts of other bonus content. So I want as many kids as possible to be solving puzzles. I truly, truly think it's important. And that's why I give it away for free. But I would also like to this, and that is why I'm looking for supporters as well.
Gotcha. Now, what about, are you a fan of the technology puzzles that kids have today, or do you think that those are kind of a distractor for some good thinking? What are your thoughts on those?
What's an example of a technology puzzle?
I like playing Sudoku. Now
technology puzzle. Sudoku is a logic puzzle. It's a pencil puzzle, right?
Right. Correct. And you can do it on like an iPad or on your phone and things like that.
Oh. But,
yeah.
All right. Now I'm with you. For me, Sudoku is just a logic puzzle. When I solve them, I primarily solve them on pencil and paper, just like I would any logic puzzle, any crossword puzzle. But there are, dozens or hundreds of iPad apps and Android apps that have wonderful puzzles in them, and I'm a huge advocate of it. I say kids should be solving something every day. I don't necessarily mean they have to solve my puzzles, although that would be nice. There's lots of wonderful iPad apps, and I love solving them with my daughter. I mean, we've solved dozens of them over the years. You're not going to hear me talking bad about technology puzzles. anything that gets the kid thinking and solving is something that should be encouraged wildly, in my opinion.
I love your enthusiasm. That's awesome. Scott, you got anything else?
No, I mean, it makes me think of Rubrics, Tim, and how exciting that was and still is for kids to solve those things. Not Rubik's Cubes, but Rubrics, which is the iPad app where they have to do Rube Goldberg's to figure out the
puzzles. Rube Goldberg machines. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I tried that app and I was like, it was way too hard for me. I'm talk about lack of character, man. I just like gave up. I'm like, no way, too hard.
I've got kids up to like level
every four. Puzzler loves a good every puzzler loves a good Rube Goldberg's machine. Rube Goldberg machines are the intersection of puzzles and science.
That's a great one.
We all love them.
So, Eric, we're gonna switch gears with you right now. We love what you're telling us about puzzles, and I'm sure that our listeners are gonna be racing over to your website, puzzleyourkids.com. We're going to have a little fun with you with our own puzzle today and see if we can stump you on some things. So, Eric, your last name is Berlin, of course. So today we're going to ask you three questions about, take a wild guess, Berlin.
Germany? Okay, all right, Berlin.
We're calling our little game Berlin Sanity.
Okay, I did not see this coming, but okay.
So Scott, why don't you tell our audience who Eric will be competing for today?
Hey, Eric, you're going to be competing for Amanda Garcia. She's a fifth grade teacher in Texas. We love you, Texas. If you're okay. able to answer 2 out of 3 questions correctly, Amanda will be awarded a free download of the ridiculously popular Edge Rock Band, Rockin' the Standards. Tim?
All right, Scotty. It never gets old. Here we go, Eric, with our first question in our game, Berlin Sanity. Of course, the most well-known Berlin, besides you, of course, is the city in Germany. Which of these is an actual attraction in the city of Berlin? Is it A?
World Park. Missing home? Find yourself surrounded by familiar sights by visiting World Park. Okay, it's not quite like home.
Googling, by the way, no Googling on this.
It's not quite, and be patient with these answers, they're pretty long. It's not quite like home. The Golden Gate Bridge here crosses the Grand Canyon, and you'll see the Eiffel Tower peeking up through the Manhattan skyline. Oddly, this is a premier destination for wedding photography in Berlin, which makes it extra fun. If you're feeling jealous of the blushing bride posing in front of the White House and a pyramid, you can rent a costume for your own photos.
Okay, so that's choice A is World Park in Berlin. Choice B?
Spree Park, an amusement park in decay. This is a place to see toppled dinosaur statues that look like they've been lifted from the set of Jurassic Park. A 45-foot multicolored Ferris wheel with nobody riding on it. Or a derailed go-kart painted to look like mustachioed men sitting among weeds and underbrush. Very sad and depressing, Tim.
Okay, so that's Spree Park. Or is it C?
I thought Spree Park would be those candies. Isn't there a candy named Spruce? C, Rabbit Island. This bizarre story of Rabbit Island reads like this. Before World War II, the island served as a top secret military site for manufacturing deadly chemical gases for use in warfare. Many say that rabbits were used to test the poisonous effects. No matter how they got there, the rabbits have won. In recent years, Rabbit Island has gained popularity over the internet, making it a sought-after destination and one of the hottest live animal feed cams in the world.
Okay, that was added in. So your three choices are World Park, Spree Park, or Rabbit Island. One of those is actually in Berlin.
And do the other two exist as well, or did you just make them up?
Tell you yet.
What?
We can't tell you.
Can't tell you. Oh. I'll tell you after you give me your answer.
If you made them up, I'm impressed, because all three sound completely plausible to me. I will go with Rabbit Island. I have no idea, but I'll go with Rabbit Island.
Okay, well, that's a good guess. Rabbit Island does exist, but it's actually in Japan.
Oh, all right.
Like it could be in Germany, because it's, you know, World War II and everything.
Hey, Tim, what about World Park?
World Park, well, World Park is actually in Beijing, China.
Oh, okay.
Where you have the Golden Gate Bridge crossing over the Grand Canyon and so on. But Spree Park is actually in Berlin, Germany.
Okay.
So you learned something. Okay.
I think our Texan teacher is not getting any free downloads today, but we shall persevere.
You still have a shot.
And maybe you can throw a Spree Park in your next puzzle or something. Okay, anyway. Another famous Berlin is the 80s band. Now, am I around in the 80s there, Eric?
I was around in the 80s, yes. I'm familiar with this band.
You are, okay. So you might have a better chance of this question there. Berlin's top hit, their number one hit, was called Take My Breath Away, which was popularized in a blockbuster movie. Which movie featured the song?
Hold on, I got a phone call. Hang on a second.
No, somebody's going to get that.
It's all right. Berlin. Okay, so which movie featured the song Take My Breath Away by Berlin. Should we sing that, Scott?
Riding on the Metro. Oh, wrong song. Sorry.
Wait, that's the other song.
Oh, sorry.
That was our second hit.
I'm not a singer. Anyway.
Am I getting choices or do I just jump in with the answer?
You get choices. Scott, what's your name?
Okay.
We have a younger audience that might not know this. Is it A, Top Gun?
Is it B?
Yes.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Is it C?
Terminator?
It is Top Gun.
Hey, you got that one right already.
Woo! You're still alive, Amanda.
Okay.
All right.
Question number three. Many parents these days are naming their little baby girls Berlin as a first name.
Okay.
I guess you don't really pick your child.
I'll take your word for that.
This hasn't been the case for very long. In fact, up until recently, the girl's first name, Berlin, was extremely rare. What year did the girl's name of Berlin skyrocket in popularity? Is it A?
2004.
Is it B?
2010.
Or is it C?
2018.
Okay. Well, I think I can eliminate one of them. The others were 2004 and 2010?
Yes, yes.
It skyrocketed in popularity? Was there a particular reason for it? Or?
Whoa.
Am I supposed to, like...
If you look at a graph of the name of people naming their babies, it was like totally kind of flat. And then all of a sudden, one year, it just shot up. I don't know why, but...
Oh, you don't know why? I thought that I was trying to figure out the reason why and then what year that happened. But no.
It's a year.
Coin toss then. I will go with 2010.
Are you sure?
Oh, I'm not sure, but
yeah, you're trying.
Well, I'm gonna go. All right, fine. I'm gonna go with 2004 then.
And that's your final answer.
Take it back a little bit further. All right, that's my final answer.
Okay. Hey. Good answer. Woo. Possibly guess that. 2004 is the correct answer. Yes, the girl's name of Berlin just shot through the roof.
Skyrocketed from 5 to 15 people who did that.
So I guess our listeners will have to do a little research and get back to us and let us know what happened that year that would cause parents to all of a sudden start naming their kids Berlin. Scott.
Mr. Gorbachev, name your baby Berlin.
Oh, Scott, how did Eric do today?
Hey, good job, Eric. You got 2 out of 3 correct, and that's good enough to be a winner.
Woo!
Congratulations, Eric. You won absolutely nothing. But Amanda, she just won a free download of Rockin' the Standards album, Education Rock and Roll Music for 2nd through 6th grade. Tibby.
All right. Well, thanks for being a good sport there, Mr. Eric Berlin, playing our little game with us and teaching us about puzzles today. Scott?
Hey, Tim, I wanted to remind our listeners, if you go to EduPresenters, that's edupresenters.com, you can sign up for a free account now and get on before they fully launch. That's a website that is the marketplace for to find education presenters for your training needs.
Awesome. And Eric, is there a way that our audience can connect with you besides going to puzzleyourkids.com?
That's pretty much the way to do it. If you want to send me a message, there's a contact box right there. You can email me at eric@puzzleyourkids.com if you want to just send me an email. Okay. Pretty much puzzleyourkids.com. That's the clearinghouse for getting the puzzles and getting in touch with me.
And your Twitter handle is?
Puzzler Eric.
And are you on Twitter? I mean, do you use it? People want to...
Yeah, I use Twitter quite a bit.
Oh, great. Okay, so if our followers, our audience wants to follow you, then they're going to get some updates on some of the things.
And puzzleyourkids.com, puzzleyourkids also has a Twitter feed.
Oh, sweet. Okay. And Scott, what else?
Hey, Tim, global school. What a better way to spend global school play day than solving puzzles with your kids. Hey, Tim, it's coming up the first Wednesday in February every year. And we are hoping this year, this upcoming year, which will be 2018, depending on when you're listening to the podcast, 2018, February 7th, will be the year of 1 million kids stopping everything they're doing at school and saying to the world, unstructured play, this time where I get to choose what I do, is extremely valuable, healthy, and a smart way to spend a day. Tim, why else is Golden School Play Day so awesome?
I'm glad you asked me, because it is amazing. I teach fifth grade. I'm sure you see this too, Scott. I do brain breaks with my kids where I say, you know, it's time to go out and play. And it blows my mind. Man, if I was 10 years old, and it was time to go out and play, I'm out of there. I'm playing. I can't tell you how many kids over the last few years of me doing brain breaks don't even know what to do when it's time to go play. And I'm giving them balls to play with and, you know, frisbees and all this stuff. And it's like they just – it's almost like they complain about having time to play. So this is something that our kids really need. It shows, studies have shown that if kids grow up without this unstructured play as a regular part of their lives, it affects them psychologically, it affects them socially, emotionally. It's just something that the kids need growing up. And so that's the main point of us doing Global School Play Day, is to get that message out, send a loud, clear message to the community by teachers signing up at the website. Doesn't cost anything, doesn't make any money for anybody. It's just a grassroots movement so that the media and anybody else that wants to know what teachers are getting involved, what schools are involved, who believes in play, they can go to the globalschoolplayday.com and check out the list of teachers, schools, and school districts that have signed up for Global School Play Day. So please go there and add your voice by signing up today. And you can check out the list of other educators. You can connect with people and you know, like do a hangout with another class and talk about the benefits of play and how do you play in New York when it's snow all over the ground. That blows my kids away, you know. It's like you're playing in the snow. We're not even allowed to go outside if the temperature is under 50 degrees, you know. So, yeah, just a great way to kind of build a community around this concept of unstructured play.
Tim, 51 nations were involved with this last year. In just the third year, 51 nations, over 280,000 kids playing around the world. We think it needs to stretch out. So if you're listening, go out, be an advocate. These kids need our voices as adults to stand up for something that we know is right and healthy for them. And we appreciate your support. You know, I know the whole team that's trying to push this out really appreciates the support, having people share that out there. And so just thank you, those of you that are listening, for sharing that out with your networks and circles of educators to join in.
What do you think, Eric? Good idea?
Of course that's a good idea. I'm a big supporter of unstructured play. I think it's fantastic.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, we are too. And we're using our platform here in the Bedley Brothers just to try to do, you know, make a difference in the world. And that's, you know, we both saw the decline of play that's happened since the 1960s and since we were kids. Even since my adult kids were children back in the 90s, there's just a huge decline. So we want to turn the tide and see kids getting outside and getting off the devices and canceling maybe one of their activities that they're involved in with their parents, you know, scheduling their whole lives and just giving them opportunity to make choices and to get unbored, you know. I mean, I had to get unbored all the time when I was a kid, right? So, anyway, thank you so much for listening, everybody, to our rant on Global School Play Day, and we hope that you got a lot out of our guest here today. I know Scott and I did, in learning from Eric Berlin. Please write a review for us on iTunes. That's how our ratings go up, and that's how people find out about the show and can learn about all these great ideas that they can use in their classroom. And thanks for watching, most of all.
Mom and Dad.
Bedley Brothers, Bedley, Bedley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Bedley Brothers, Bedley, Bedley Brothers.